times. Tim Kalisha, Pablo Torre, L. Duncan. The Lakers, buns out. Phoenix Suns route. Dame's complete disregard for humanity's bedtimes and the two biggest news stories of the day. Celtics shakeup, Coach K retiring. Let's go.
Way too much.
We will get to the Coach K news. It's super galactic in a second. But since this is immediate, the Boston Celtics, Danny Ainge stepping down as president, Brad Stevens moving on from coaching, kicking upstairs to take on the president role, and he'll pick the next head coach. For Ainge, 18 years running the team, the championship in 2008 after the incredible Garnett and Allen trade, and 51 draft picks. For Brad Stevens, once considered by some the brightest star in the coaching universe, leaving the sidelines and failing up? Question mark, Pablo Torre, around the horn to you. What is happening in Boston, and did it need to happen?
This is a franchise, Tony, that believes in its exceptionalism. They believe they are a team up on a hill. They believe that all their answers are in-house. They fetishize continuity. Keep in mind, Danny Ainge was the third longest tenured GM in the NBA behind Pat Riley and Pop. He only had two head coaches, Doc Rivers and Brad Stevens, one of which now replaces Danny Ainge because the Celtics, when they are faced with chaos, only know how to control it by turning to the faces that are familiar. This is a team that only knows one way. And if I'm a fan of the Celtics, my worry is that that may be well and good, but are you going to actually do some of the gut renovation that I think would be fair for a franchise that seems to be stuck in the mud after a run of admitted success for a very long time?
That was a lot of words, Pablo. Let's pare it down. Let's tighten it up, okay? You say it was a gut. They need a gut renovation. They cleaned house, but not enough. You don't think Stevens should be the president and failing up. I'm putting words in your mouth here, but give it to me.
Yeah, this is a little less HGTV than I would have wanted, right? You move the guy upstairs. You don't actually change the stuff around the house.
Right.
I wanted more.
All right. Tim Kalisha, please. The Celtics right now. Are they doing enough? And was this a success for Danny Ainge?
I would start by saying not a success for Danny Ainge, and I know he won a title, but there were the expectations after that and getting rid of those older players and loading up on all those first-round picks. Oh, Danny Ainge is going to control the league for the next 10 years, and it never really happened. The odd thing isn't him moving on. The odd thing is Brad Stevens, who we've talked about on this show many times. Is he in trouble as a head coach? Why does this team play so poorly in the fourth quarter? Why are they so disjointed all the time? He moves into the big chair with no experience at that, a completely different task, and he'll pick the next coach. So I don't know exactly how they came to the conclusion Brad Stevens is even better than people think he is, and we're going to let him run this whole franchise starting tomorrow.
Boston Celtics, big shakeup, Mina Kimes. Did they get better today? Did they get well today? Did they do this right? Do they need to do more?
I'm going to start by saying something nice and then say something mean later. The nice part, the generous appraisal compared to my colleagues of both Ainge and I think Stevens, is that they've had a lot of bad luck. Like, as much as Danny Ainge has been maligned for all of the almost signings, you know, the reports, he was in on it. There are a lot of situations as well where he almost had championship teams and encountered really, really bad fortune. Hayward's injury, Kyrie's injury, Kemba's injury, those draft picks. This season, the Celtics were basically cursed. That was the nice part. The mean part is we don't even know if Brad Stevens can negotiate a contract. Like, there's no way he deserves the benefit of the doubt with this hire. There's no indication that he's qualified at all for the job. And I say that as someone who thought he was a good coach. I cannot say with any confidence that he'd be a good executive.
L. Duncan, I turn to you now. I'm reading everything you're giving to us in your face, and you're shaking your head no here on all things Boston. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I wonder if people are going to sort of paint this as the same privilege brush for Brad Stevens being able to say,
people are painting.
This head coaching thing is really boring, and I'm over it. I think I just want to go run the entire organization the same way that they painted Steve Nash, right, as the privileged thing. Like, he just gets an opportunity to just step in and step in there. I do think that it was time for Danny Ainge to move on, because what made him so good, what made him, you know, Trader Danny, was his willingness to wheel and deal and move. And it felt like over the last few years there was this rigidity to get rid of any of his young players. He didn't want to go all in and win now. He sort of didn't go in on some of these big-name free agents that potentially became available because he coveted those picks, because he coveted those young players. And that just doesn't work in Boston. I'm sorry. Even if it is the Celtics and their one championship in 18 years and they haven't been winning a ton, it's Boston. There's an expectation that you win. For Brad Stevens, it's just unbelievable to say that you could move into that position. But I do have to say, and I mean this with all sincerity and honesty, yeah, Tony, everything changed once Kyrie stepped on Lucky the Logo. I mean, the Celtics organization is in fit. Coincidence? Yes.
I feel like, Al, you want to step away from SportsCenter. You said that you, what happens if you were to step away from SportsCenter and just automatically say, I'm going to go run
Could
the entire ESPN network?
I don't want to. You know what? SportsCenter grind is really getting on my nerves of late. You know what? I just want to run ESPN instead. We good? Like, who does that happen to? That happens to no one.
Mina Kai's back in.
I want to follow on a point that El made that's really important about privilege and earning your jobs and Nash and now Brad Stevens taking this position as GM, which by all accounts he has not earned. To me, this makes it all the more important that the Celtics choose someone to replace Brad Stevens with experience, who has earned it. I'm thinking of Sam Cassell. Obviously, they have ties to him with the Sixers. I'm thinking of Becky Hammon, who obviously also has experience, has earned her way to this position. They cannot go completely wild and rogue and pick someone who doesn't have the resume befitting this job. And I think it's so important for this franchise going forward that they make the right
first couple names that came out today were Jason Kidd and Lloyd Pierce. And then, yes, Cassell and Billups and Becky Hammon's name came up. Pablo, this is a franchise at a crossroads right now with player contracts as well. What's the name that you throw out for head coaching?
Look, the most fun name in all of this, to just put a capper on my very long monologue, is Larry Bird. Bring back the guy with the longest
resume. You just accused them of saying they can't get past their history here, and now you throw out Larry Bird. This is such a problem.
It's too late to get past the history. Just give me Bird. I want to see that guy on the sideline now.
Sam Cassell has paid his dues as an assistant for 10 years. Get him out.
Al Duncan.
He says he wants another chance. Give it to Jason Kidd.
And now the other super galactic news of the day. And again, this may be larger, but it's not as immediate. Jeff Goodman did the reporting here. Coach K announcing his plan to retire after this upcoming season. Ba-boom! And all signs point to assistant John Shire as in line to land the job. Double ba-boom! Tim, there's a lot to digest here, and there was a little note in Goodman's report here that the changing landscape of college basketball, which includes name and image likeness, and the transfer portal, played a part in Coach K's decision. What are your thoughts?
As the only panelist here who attended his first Final Four in 1986, I don't know what everybody else was doing that spring. I was at Reunion Arena watching them beat Kansas and get started on a great run. One of 12 Final Fours. I mean, I'm just, with Coach K, the numbers just overwhelm the championships and the 12 Final Fours. I think there's John Wooden, who's kind of untouchable, even under a different set of rules. And then there's Coach K at the next level, and nobody is on Coach K's level. It lasted much longer than we thought it would. And I think the way he also worked with pros and the Olympic teams, we saw this guy can coach a lot of different ways and relate to a lot of different people. And he really understands this.
I'm going to ask you a tough question as a follow-up here, Tim, because I mean, they're so intertwined, Coach K and Duke. Do you believe Duke can have the same success going forward now that Coach K will retire at the end of next season?
No, I don't. I mean, I think they can be successful, but, you know, you look at those staggering numbers, it's going to be too much for anybody to repeat that. The playing field has gotten a lot more.
Pablo Torre, what are your thoughts on Coach K retiring at the end of the season?
Look, he's one of the great patriarchs of college basketball, of college sports in general, one of the top five coaches of all time in his sport, stepping away and choosing the terms of his exit. He had once said he didn't want the farewell tour, but we're all going to get the farewell tour, whether we like it or not. We're going to get all of the gifts, all of the memorials, all of that stuff. And Tony, what he is doing in handing it off to John Shire, he is ensuring that Duke will continue to sell Coach K. All of these organizations, all these programs, they want to keep selling the same thing. That is what Duke is doing here by appointing a guy who is a little younger than me to take the reins from an all-time legend.
Okay. That has nothing to do with you, honestly. I say that respectfully. L. Duncan, how about you?
Yeah, I mean, Coach K is a brand, so it makes sense that they would want to sort of stick with that in terms of recruitment. But this makes sense to me. Like, it's time. It's been time, and I appreciate the fact that the changing basketball landscape is a reason that he would want to bail, right? Because meanwhile, we've got Jim Boeheim. He's going to be Bankhead bouncing his way into the next millennium. Like, just accept the fact that the game is different and that you no longer want to be invested in what this particular landscape looks like. I will say this, though, right, in the interest of just pitting Roy Williams versus Coach K against each other one more time, since we will never get that matchup again. If you're of the yoke that think that you like your coaches to sort of just go out without all the fanfare, you would say the way that Roy Williams did it was probably better than the way Coach K is doing it. Like, give me all my flowers.
Well, you really
I'm
sound
retire,
like
but not before you all adore me.
It sounds like you feel a certain way about this, Al. Why don't you tell us?
Maybe I'm a Heels fan and maybe
yes,
not.
Yes, that's what it sounds like as well. Okay. I mean, the point is, we've seen coaches do it both ways, and Coach K ostensibly made commitments to recruits that he was going to be here this year, right? So there was one reason
that's
to
fine.
Stick around.
So then he could stay. Nobody's saying he shouldn't stay. Just, you know, tell us at the end of
next
year.
Okay, somebody's saying that he wants his flowers and he wants a tour. Does he deserve a retirement tour? I mean, the guy's the greatest coach of all time on a lot of lists. Mina Kimes, bring you in.
Yeah. Yeah, of course he does. But Tony, to the bigger question of kind of the future of Duke basketball, while John Shire, Coach K's replacement, his age, him being younger than Pablo Torre, is not relevant
exactly.
to anyone.
Exactly, thank you
I
very much
I think it is relevant that he
Shocking,
is young because, as everyone has pointed out, he needs to be adaptable in the way that Coach K used to be. The landscape is changing with name, image, and likeness. Evolve or die when it comes to recruiting. And that, to me, is the challenge for Shire going forward.
Same question I asked Kalashaw earlier. Can Duke still be Duke without Coach K? Pablo Torre, yes or no?
No.
L. Duncan?
No.
And that Carolina blue that you're wearing today? And Mina Kimes around you, that is.
I think it can.
All right, taking a break here. Yeah. Buy or sell is next. The Lakers, they said they had the buns out last night. But is calling Anthony Davis street clothes Davis going a little bit too far?
Never.
For buy or sell next.
Very fancy street clothes.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
Charles Barkley's calling him street clothes, because he's always in street clothes. Snoop Dogg saying more hurt than Mary J. Blige. Both legitimately funny lines, Ooh. But is it going too far on Anthony Davis? About going far, it's clear the Lakers can't go anywhere without Davis. just LeBron doing the heavy lifting. Last night was over in a hurry. 16-0 run for the Suns, 32-10 quarter for the Suns. Phoenix one win away from throwing the champs out of the tournament. Mina, how dire is this for the Lakers?
It is extremely dire. If I had to choose the Mary J. Blige song to describe the state of the Lakers, it would be I'm Going Down, because without Anthony Davis, that is where this team is at. Can't get a shot to save their life. I mean, Schroeder, a lot has been said about him going 0 for 9, but what jumped out to me, one assist.
Yeah.
He's the point guard. One assist. I mean, good heavens.
All right, let's see what's percolating with Tim Kalishaw. What do you got here?
I'll give you the good news. Last night for the Lakers, they did a better job on DeAndre Ayton. Nobody noticed that. He went 5 for 10.
Okay, yeah.
Everything else was a disaster. The second quarter was a layup drill for Phoenix. And I don't think LeBron is healthy enough. Maybe not young enough, but definitely not healthy enough to carry this team without
him. Well, you saw him leave the court. We showed the video, though, with some time left in the clock. That was to get some treatment. Pablo Torre, how dire for the Lakers?
Yeah, the song I wouldn't choose would be No More Drama, because we're going to get so much soap opera coming out of this game, because LeBron James, this version of him, is not healthy enough to carry this team by himself. Anthony Davis' nickname, we nicknamed Charles Barkley the Leaning Tower of Pizza. Charles Barkley can make fun of Anthony Davis in this version, also clearly not enough.
All right, a lot of pressure on Elle Duncan here for Mary J. Blige, but I don't think she feels pressure. Go ahead.
Yeah, if you're asking me what's the 411, Tony.
Yes, thank you.
I'm telling you, Mina uses a lot of GIFs, so she'll relate to me on this one. When I watch the Lakers play, that GIF of the lady with the numbers swirling around her head as if she's trying to solve a riddle, that's me
right
watching Dennis Schroeder trying to figure out who the hell told him to turn down $80 million for that. It's very dire. LeBron is hurt. He has literally no one to turn to. It's over.
All right, let me just say one thing about the jokes, which are legitimately funny, and I'll forgive anything for funny, right? Naomi Osaka, we said it a few days ago, if it was a hamstring pull, think of her mental health break as a hamstring pull, and everybody's like, yes, of course, injuries. Well, that's what he has right now. He's a groin pull. And that still doesn't stop people from saying, he's injured. He's legitimately injured. That's all I'm saying here. We'll move on. Nuggets 147, Blazers 140. Damian Lillard with no regard for humanity's bedtimes. He was willing, carrying, Atlas carrying this game. Austin Rivers thanking God when he misses. That's what we've got to here with Lillard. The rest of the Blazers were catching up on the masterpiece, as L. Duncan tweeted last night. Here's some points for that. 55, not enough. Nuggets up 3-2. What's the number one takeaway, Tim?
My number one takeaway, I wanted a third overtime to see if they would reach a point where Michael Malone would let somebody foul Damian Lillard with a three-point lead, to see how that went, to see if they could stop the three-point onslaught. We didn't get to see that.
That's your number one takeaway? All right, this is going the wrong way for Kalishaw right now. Torrey, how about you?
My number one takeaway is that the four panelists on the show had, I believe, one fewer field goal than the four teammates Damian Lillard had on the floor for two overtime periods. The guy needs help. It's very obvious to say this, but last night, those high degree of difficulty shots and then literally one field goal from everybody else, that was heartbreaking.
Elle Duncan.
Yeah, I'm going to revise my analogy from last night, Tony. This is like Michelangelo is three strokes away from finishing the Sistine Chapel, and then his stupid, toddler child came and put a bunch of glow-in-the-dark stars on it. Like, what is happening? After that virtuoso performance, and all we're going to talk about is a missed dunk and a dude stepping out of bounds. Right. That's absolutely insane, and they're wasting
a toddler child. And by the way, the action of the toddler is stupid, not the toddler. It sounds like you're speaking from experience here, Elle, with something that's going on at home. Go ahead, Mina Kimes. On last night, you can talk about the Nuggets if you want.
I think the Nuggets should be glad or grateful for the rest of Dame's teammates, because I don't know why they didn't foul him at the very end of the game before all the overtimes. And also, Danny Ainge and Coach K owe him an apology, because that's one of the best playoff performances I've ever seen in my life, and we're not talking about it at the beginning of the show because of all the news.
All right. Still not a lot of Nuggets in that conversation, but that's okay. Tim Kalishaw couldn't keep up with the Mary J. Blige, so he still has no idea what's going on. That's all right. Mr. Wrong here. Pablo Torre also taking a seat. It's ladies' night. Showdown. Mina Kimes, Elle Duncan, 2 minutes.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
I don't know if they're physical, but they're trying to play physical. And I feel like if they were really physical, I think we'd have more problems than what we have. Kaboom! That is Clint Capela. After all those flagrants in Game 4 that both teams had, talk it up tonight. Game 5, Hawks-Knicks. L. Duncan, Mina Kimes, welcome to Showdown. L, what does tonight's game look like?
Are you asking an Atlanta sports fan for a prediction on a game? Are you joking, Tony? I don't know. I just know it won't be because of Clint Capela, because there's no such thing as chalkboard material when you're actually cursed. The Lord of Light has decided Atlanta will never win. So we'll see. Oh, talk your talk.
Wait a second.
Wow. Over the Knicks. I like Derek Rose's response to this trash talk. He said, I'm too old for that. Unfortunately, that's also why the Knicks are bad, because Derek Rose is their best player, and he's also too old for that.
Nina's getting the point, because, Al, what you tried to do right there is put off making a pick on your team and playing both sides of it. Not going to work in Showdown. Showdown 2, a half-court buzzer beater to win it. Kia Nurse, first responding and defibrillating and tending her Phoenix Mercury back to life over Chicago. When you factor in that Euro step, you're giving extra credit. Mina Kimes?
Oh, my goodness. Yes, this is one of the coolest things I've ever seen. Not just because of the shot, not just because of the Euro step, Tony, but that she did it with less than 4 seconds left and didn't call timeout. That is incredible that she thought she could get there, and she did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And more remarkably, it's a shot that she self-admittedly never makes. I love that. Like, the ease, the pressure was off her, because at the end of the day, no one expected that she'd make it, and she did anyway. So for me, it was the pileup. Mm-hmm. Loved it.
Mm-hmm. Getting the point, but there was a banned phrase there at the last part of the evening, I believe is how you might know it. 30 seconds of FaceTime going to Mina Kimes.
Wow, okay. So we've been talking a lot about fans acting poorly at games. I've also noticed people acting poorly on airplanes. Like, everyone forgot how to act. Fighting, doing TikTok dances. So I'd like to offer my 3 rules for how to act on an airplane. 1, do not TikTok dance and wait your turn to get off. Don't stand up and rush the aisle. 2, treat flight attendants kindly. Be a good human being. And 3, this is the most divisive one. Do not recline between the hours of 9 a.m. and 9 p.m.
Whoa.
If your flight is under 5 hours long, don't recline.
Locked. An upright position situation from Kimes.
You know, more importantly, Mina, be nice to people with babies on planes, okay? We can't reason with babies,
yes.
Guys. Can't tell the baby not to cry,
yes,
guys. Sorry, your ears hurt, baby. Stop crying, baby.
Cried.
Pablo, you got
the shoes on.
Tim, what do you got?
Keep your
they
shoes
really
on,
don't
man.
Stop.
Tim is still worried about trying to get
that's
an order from Sky Mall. That's it for us. 23 and a half hour break. See you tomorrow.